Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Our interview today is sponsored by a hidden gem in Starkville, Mississippi, Alora Modern Wellness. Founded by healthcare veterans Rich and Lisa Lopez, Alora offers cutting-edge therapies like whole-body cryotherapy, infrared saunas, LED light treatments, and assisted stretching, all designed to relieve pain, reduce stress, and boost recovery. Whether you're an athlete, a busy professional, or simply seeking balance, Alora provides personalized care in a serene setting. Located at 821 C Highway 12 across from Kroger, it's your local destination for modern wellness. Discover more at aloramodernwellness.com. It is almost time for tip-off around the country. Isaac Trotter joins us now, 24/7 Sports, CBS Sports, the college basketball guru we love here on Thunder and Lightning. And Isaac, we'll start with the big picture. Last year was such a historic year for the SEC, as good as a conference has ever been top to bottom in the history of this great sport. It has to take a small step back this year, doesn't it? I'm not saying they're going to be dropping off the face of the earth, but they can't be as good as they were top to bottom last year, can they?
I'm right there with you. I just think it's natural for a little regression to pop in. You know, 26 of the top 30 scorers from the SEC have departed. Mm-hmm. So that's the biggest number of all of the high major leagues. So there's a lot of fresh faces in here. Obviously, the buying power in the SEC is nuts, right? Like, they've been able to really put together some great rosters in free agency, both in the international market and the transfer portal and the high school recruiting. Like, you see all of that. But I think there's going to be a little drawback a little bit this year, just with so many new teams, like having so many new faces, right? Like, there's just a lot of newcomers here, and that raises some kind of risk in the portfolio, so to speak.
You mentioned the international thing, and I asked Chris Jans about this a few weeks ago when I talked to him, but he's got a Serbian guy on the roster. There's a French guy in Oxford at Ole Miss. There's a few other internationals around the SEC. Is this a new trend? Are we going to start seeing more and more of this international flavor on these rosters?
I think so. I think we're up to 70 right now at the high major ranks just alone. It's kind of like one-ish per team. Now, certain teams are more connected overseas than others. I think a team like Illinois, I think they have five Balkans on the roster, so it's a little different. But yes, I think it's going to be a big deal. Now, just part of it's just money. A lot of those guys over there, they're making 50, 60, 70K. Mm-hmm. A college basketball team that comes in being like, hey, we'll give you $350K to come play basketball. That's pretty attractive. So it's a new market that teams are trying to tap into. I'm curious to see how it kind of coalesces. I don't think the star power will be quite as high as it was last year. I don't think you're going to see like an Yegor Demon or Kasperis Jakusonis, who are first-round picks from the international market. But I think there's a lot of really good players that will come over and be impactful role players. And it's certainly, you know, I think it raises the talent level throughout the sport when you have another influx of like, hey, these guys are pros. A lot of them have played a lot of pro basketball for a while. And that's making college basketball even more watchable, I think, this year.
The big news in the SEC this year, obviously, is the departure of Bruce Pearl to retirement, politics, who knows where he's going to end up, and, of course, his son taking over. Never been a head coach before, only really ever worked for his father. I feel like that's a huge step for a program that's been so good. What do we think about the Auburn Tigers this year?
I think they're going to take a smidge step back. You know, I think they're talented. They're really talented. But the rim defense was like their calling card last year. Anybody who played Auburn was like, man, Dylan Cardwell is just enormous. And man, Jani Broome is just enormous as well. This year's team, I think they're not quite as big inside. A lot of State fans know that Keyshawn Murphy is now their interior type of rim protector. He's a good defensive big man, but he is not quite as like thick as Cardwell and Broome. So I think their interior defense is going to come back to earth a little bit. And I think their profile is a little bit volatile. Keyshawn Hall and Keyshawn Murphy and Todd Pettiford, those are talented players, but they can have some high highs and some low lows. I feel like Auburn has the pieces to make the NCAA tournament. And if they do, that's a win. I do not expect them to be an SEC contender. Like if it's late in February and they're within a game or two of first place, I'd be surprised in this league.
What about the defending national champions, the Florida Gators? That was a team. Last year, it felt like they were kind of under the radar as much as you can be being that good. But everybody was focused on Auburn, maybe some focus on Alabama. And then, boom, when the postseason came, they were the best team.
Totally with you. They kind of came out of nowhere late. That's really, really awesome front court. They're going to play a little different this year. Thomas Houck is going to actually move to play the three. So they'll have Houck and Alex Condon and Ruben Chinulu on the floor together. I think their interior defense is going to be phenomenal. It really comes down to the guard play. And Xavier Lee and Boogie Fland are two guys that they've gotten from the portal. Both of them are like high usage guys that don't turn the basketball over. And for, you know, Todd Golden's like big on math, right? High usage guards that don't turn the basketball over and create their own shot are kind of like his cheat code. That's what he's all about. If those guys, I think Boogie, especially the transfer from Arkansas, if he has a big year, I think Florida is certainly going to be in the mix to win the league. Everybody has picked them to win the league. I'm a little bit lower on them than consensus. I think Kentucky's the best team in the league, but Florida is certainly right in the mix there, and I think they have the pieces to go on another run.
So why do you think Kentucky's the best team then?
They come at you in waves. You know, when you have $22 million to build a roster, that certainly does not hurt either,
right? There's some
right?
football teams that would like to have $22 million, yeah.
I am right there with you, but this team is way more athletic than they were a year ago. Last year when you watched Kentucky, they were slow, they're old, they played well, but like they weren't really like twitchy. This group is way more athletic, and I think you put really good athletes in a scheme like Mark Pope that's big on cutting and passing and ball movement. I think that's a really good recipe for a successful offense. And then you toss in the defensive upside. This group will play way more defense than Kentucky has in the past. Otega always one of the best wing defenders in college basketball. Jaden Quaintance, when he gets healthy, is an unbelievable interior defender. Mo Diabate, the transfer from Alabama, one of my favorite forward defenders in all of college basketball. So they need to get Jalen Lowe healthy, the transfer from Pitt, who's going to play point guard. But this group, they got like 13 dudes who can play. I think Mark Pope finds the right combinations there. And with all this added athleticism, they're going to be the best team in the SEC, in my opinion.
Who's the surprise team in the conference this year, be it good or bad?
You know, I look at Ole Miss. I have no idea what to do with them. That's a group that a very new look team. AJ Storr is coming in after a rough year at Kansas, but like he's kind of like that every other year type of player. I could see him having a really good year at Ole Miss, but like there's no Sean Padula anymore. There's no Jamin Brakefield, who's a really nice player for them. Matt Morrell's gone. Like what? I have no idea what to do with them. They're like one of those teams I've stuck in the middle, and I'm just hoping and praying I potentially get it right with some of my predictions with them. And again, like we talked about earlier with the international stuff, Ilias Kamardine, the international product, is going to have a very, very big say in whether they're good or whether they're great. That's an Ole Miss team that I think could easily challenge for top five in the league. And then I also would not be stunned at all if it's on Selection Sunday and Ole Miss isn't even on the bubble.
Wow. Who's the newcomer in the conference that you're the most excited to see?
Boy, this could go a lot of different directions. You know, Boogie Fland is obviously one that like he's been in the league for a little bit, so he probably doesn't count. You know, the thing that I kind of like what Vanderbilt has done, they're a really interesting roster that the way that they've built this team, you know, and Jalen Washington is a kid from North Carolina that was a very hyped prospect that really hasn't done much throughout his career. I could see him heading to Vanderbilt and really being a pleasant surprise. But, you know, again, with Auburn, I think Auburn's going to be incredibly watchable this year. And Keyshawn Hall, their forward there, is probably the best newcomer. He big, strong, physical, 19 a game last year at UCF. He's just a walking bucket, and he'll score at all three levels. I could see a scenario where he challenges Josh Hubbard to for the SEC scoring title.
Let's bring it into Mississippi State now. And you know, obviously, you just mentioned Hubbard. You said, what was it, the 24? How many of the top scorers were gone?
26 of the top 30.
Well, I know one that's back, and that's Josh Hubbard. And I asked Chris Jans this a few weeks ago. I'll ask you now. What does Josh Hubbard need to add to his game for Mississippi State to take that next step to finish top half of the SEC and be a team that can win a tournament game or two?
For me, it really comes down to like the playmaking, like how he can really scan the floor and make others better. I think he walks on the floor as like a score first type of guy. And I think to reach the peak of their powers, he has to be someone that opposing defenses are scared about because he could get other guys involved too as well. He's really talented. And I kind of think Mississippi State's on the verge of playing slightly differently this year, maybe slowing the pace down a little bit more, maybe trying to grind teams out defensively.
I think they're going to look more like they looked the first 2 years under Jans.
Right there with you, Brian. And I think that's going to make every possession matter so much more for this offense. And so Hubbard making those right decisions as a scorer and then also like kind of mixing in some extra playmaking, if he can be a low turnover rate guy and a high like assist rate guy, along with the influx of buckets that we've known from him, he could be the SEC player of the year.
I think State's biggest problem a year ago was their interior defense. Teams could just get to the rim against them, and they couldn't the first 2 years when they had Tolu Smith and Jimmy Bell down there. Quincy Ballard is the guy they've brought in to try to fix that problem from them. Double-double guy at Wichita State. Is he going to be a difference maker for Mississippi State this year?
He's enormous and he's very old. And that those two combinations are
old in a good way, though. Not old like me in a bad way.
That's right. Fifth-year senior, sixth-year senior. He's been around the block a little bit. I'm with you. I felt like Jans was kind of over-indexing too, because he knew the interior defense was a problem. And so then they were giving up more open threes than ever before because they were trying to swarm the ball and force turnovers. Like this year, I just think they're gonna be more sound. Ballard, with how big he is, and you know he plays a lot of deeper drop coverage, I think that's going to be the plan for Mississippi State. Stay out of rotation, limit open threes, force inefficient two-point jumpers, and rebound and run. And that's Ballard is a really, really high-level rebounder. I don't think he's, you know, he's certainly not as skilled as Keyshawn Murphy offensively, and he's not going to do some of the cool behind the back, between the legs type of moves. But I do think he can be a very steadying force, and it's going to change the complexion of their defense with him at the five. And they certainly need Achora Achora to be really good as well. And if Achora Achora can be a big bounce back candidate as well at the four, that front line is big, athletic, really good on the glass. Like that, you can start to see the vision where Mississippi State's interior defense goes from a weakness last year to a strength in this season.
And then the other question State's had since he arrived on campus is trying to pair Hubbard with another guy there in the backcourt. Have they done it with Jaden Epps? Can he be the guy who, you know, sort of the Robin to Hubbard's Batman there?
Epps is a weird case study for me. Sometimes he'll drive you nuts and sometimes you'll love him because the shot making that he has is just, he's just wired to score. Like that's just kind of his deal. My concern is that when Hubbard and Epps are on the floor together, it's like two guys that are both wired to score, and it kind of falls into like a your turn, my turn. Like we're not able to make each other better. We're not running sets that like get both of our best players involved. You know, the guy I like is Jabori McGee a lot too. He really like connective piece at UAB last year, played with a really, really good player at Yaxel Lendeborg. So when you play with a star at one level, it makes me feel comfortable that, like, hey, you can probably learn how to play off of Josh Hubbard a little bit as well. Put a lot of pressure on the rim, can obviously make threes off the bounce and off the catch. It's a nice player, really nice player. So if Epps doesn't work out, I could see McGee starting to work his way in because, again, like if you fall into your turn, my turn offense in this league, that's a recipe to lose ball games quickly.
One last player to talk about, and a guy who I think they're counting on to have a high ceiling, but he hasn't done it quite yet, is Amir Ali from Arizona State. What do you think of him?
Tall, long, athletic, could really shoot the three. As Arizona State was a disaster last year.
They were. So,
like, it was after me, you come first offense at Arizona State. Very little ball movement, very little sets run. It felt like he was a little bit of a deer out of water, and he somehow thrived in the chaos. I think more structure will help him this year. And I think if he can be all in on like acing this defensive scheme, he could be one of their, I think Sean Jones is probably their best perimeter defender, but I think you could see Ali really help their perimeter defense as well with just his length and activity levels. And when you're 6'8" and you can shoot from three like that, and then you add a little defense, that's a pretty nice player. And I think he can be a guy that certainly helps this group, whether that's as a starter or coming off the bench. And if he can also add a little bit attacking long closeouts, because you know Hubbard's going to attract so much attention, there's a pathway for him to score 8, 9, 10 points a game here and be a little bit more like consistent and solid than some of the wings last year for Mississippi State, where it's like, are we getting the great Riley Kugel game, or is he killing this game? Like, is RJ Melendez shooting the corner three off the top of the backboard, or is he like going to actually help us? So it's like, I think some more consistency from from Amir Ali could really, really, you know, do wonders for this offense.
What's the ceiling for this Mississippi State team this year? Can they be a top half of the SEC? Can they be a 4 or 5 seed when we get to Selection Sunday?
I think they can finish in the top half of the league. I think that's certainly in the range of outcome, just because they have more of an identity than other teams do. Other teams are trying to figure it out. Like, I think Mississippi State knows what we are and what we're really good at. And I do feel like the kind of the reversion back to how they played a couple years ago can help their floor be a little bit higher, because the shooting in this league has gotten better and better over the years. Teams are making more threes. Like, giving up open threes in this league is just kind of a recipe for disaster at sometimes. And I think that their ability to be a little bit more sound defensively certainly does give them a chance. Because if you're sound defensively and you have a superstar guard, that kind of gives you a little bit of a leg up. I think there is a world where they finish in the top half of the SEC. I think I had them 8th in my preseason SEC power rankings. That's kind of where I stick with them. For some reason, Chris Jans and loves being in those 8-9 games in the NCAA tournament, and this feels like a team that could finish in the 8-9 game in the NCAA tournament.
One last question. Yeah, State opens the season against North Alabama on November 5th, but that November 10th game, a neutral site game with Iowa State, is that a really good litmus test of what this team's going to be? State has found a way in each of Chris Jans' years to win a big non-conference game. They beat Marquette his first year. Last year, they dominated Pitt in the ACC Challenge. Is this going to be another one of those games for State?
I think they can win that game. You know, I'm a little lower on Iowa State this year than compared to consensus. People really like them as a top 10 team. I have them closer to 20 than 10. This is a group that Taman Lipsey is their star point guard. He's been banged up all offseason. So, like, he's out right now for 4 to 6 weeks. I don't know if he's back for that game yet. And that could be a situation where if they get that win on Selection Sunday, no one on the committee is going to realize that Taman Lipsey was banged up or not playing in that game. It will certainly could be something that ages really well. That's a group that they, you know, they're going to play defense. You know that they have a really good big three coming back with Lipsey, Milan Momcilovic, and Josh Jefferson. But I have some serious questions about their supporting cast. That's a game that Mississippi State could certainly win. Like, they will not be favored, but they can certainly win that basketball game.
I can't wait for tip-off. It's going to be another great year of college basketball, and with Mississippi State being in the mix, it makes it very exciting here in Starkville. Isaac Trotter, you know you will be back on this podcast over the next few months. We appreciate you joining us, man.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.